It is a Wednesday, and that means it's time to visit with Brian Walton. We'll do that momentarily, as this is always brought to you by the doctors of Blue Tail Medical Group. They are some of the nation's top experts in the fields of sports medicine and stem cell regenerative therapies. So when people hear about sports medicine, they think the DL, disabled list, surgery to replace joints so that they can throw a football or baseball in 6 months. You got the broken bones. Well, the doctors, Bayes, Crane, and Wolf, experts in stem cell regenerative therapy. We're talking about your own body's stem cells redirected to concentrate all their power into the joints that cause you pain. So whether you're a high school athlete, a vet, or your joints have been worn by age, arthritis, old injuries, your body still has the ability to heal itself. Find out how and give them a call. Blue Tail Medical Group, 636-778-2900, 636-778-2900. Visit them at bluetailmedicalgroup.com. Wednesday morning, we always visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. And Brian, great to hear your voice. Hopefully you're safe and healthy, and you're probably working hard on that guide that comes out and tells you about some of these minor leaguers that we want to learn about. So you're busy right now, aren't you?
Absolutely right. You know, the Cardinals have a truck day. It's a big deal, right, when the trucks are loaded up and they head off to spring training. It's kind of the signal that baseball's here. Well, I'm pleased to tell you that yesterday the cases of 2021 Cardinal Prospect Guide arrived. And so the first batch of pre-orders are going out through the post office later today.
Awesome. When you do this, describe what's in that guide, because I think it's interesting for fans to hear what's in it. I use it all the time, but what, you know, for me to describe it is one thing, but for the guy that's doing it, it's another. What are you doing with that?
Well, there's four basic sections in the guide. The guide's over 250 pages, so it's a very comprehensive, a lot of photos, a lot of tables, spiral-bound book, or you can order a PDF. But the four sections are a review back at last season, how did the prospect lists from last year, how those players do, what camps did they get assigned to, from instructional camp to spring training to summer camp, et cetera. And then also looked into the players who made their major league debuts. So that's the 2020 look back section. The 2021 section, we talk about how we went through our voting, go through, you know, how we selected the prospects in the top 50 and what their rankings were in the past, so you can see what progress they've made. We look at the best prospects by position. We look at them by age, by sourcing, you know, where they come from, draft, international. We look at their Rule 5 status. We talk about when we think they'll make the majors, et cetera, et cetera. So we basically – oh, and most importantly, we look for the pitchers. We grade every one of their pitch offerings. And for the position players, we take their five tools and score them on their run, hit, throw, et cetera. So a lot of detail on each player. Third section is the detailed write-ups for each player, and that's the core of the guide because we cover 58 prospects in the system. And then the final section is a history section where we look at lists and things in the past, whether it's draft or international signings or players of the year, that Kitzel winners, that kind of thing.
When you think about this particular camp, what excites you? What are you looking forward to as some of the players are starting to trickle into Jupiter?
Well, I think the biggest story, there's kind of a if you look at position players and pitchers as sort of the main two groups, the pitchers are pretty much set, I think, unless somebody gets hurt or something weird happens. I mean, I think I could tell you the 14 or 15 guys are going to start on the opening day roster. Now, and of course, we don't know yet, you know, what the mix of pitchers and position players are going to be. But on the position player side, there's going to be a battle for the infield reserve position. Edmundo Sosa is certainly the incumbent who would seem to have a leg up on it, has a spot in the 40-man roster. But the Cardinals also went out and signed a couple of veterans that have prior major league experience in Max Moroff and Jose Rondon. And Rondon's a pretty good hitter, especially, so he's a guy that could get Sosa run for his money. I think the other area that's going to be most interesting to look at is, you know, will Tyler O'Neill really earn the left field job? We kind of think that Carlson's going to be penciled in right, Bader's in center. Will O'Neill, you know, keep the job? Will Austin Dean or will Lane Thomas step up, or maybe even Justin Williams? There's six outfielders on the 40-man roster right now, and even in the most optimistic scenario, you know, there's no way that more than about four of those are going to make the team.
In terms of some of those names, anybody that you think pitching wise or player wise could be a surprise in this camp and earn a spot and edge their way onto this roster?
Well, there's a couple of guys that I see kind of on the perimeter. Well, about maybe four guys in the perimeter. Johan Oviedo made five starts last year, was very impressive. You know, if the Cardinals decide they want more long men, you know, maybe an Oviedo might make the team. Jake Woodford, same for him. On the release side, Junior Fernandez is a guy that has, you know, tremendous stuff, but just hasn't quite, you know, taken that final step in his control. Seth Elledge, we saw come up and pitch well. Those are four guys that I see are on the outside looking in right now that I think, you know, could, and with a good camp, and then, you know, the guys that might get bumped off are the guys sort of near the back. And I'm not saying that these are bad pitchers in any way. We're talking about the younger guys like Ryan Helsley, Cody Whitley, those kind of guys. You know, they should make the team, but if they have a bad spring, you know, one of these other guys could step in and potentially take their place.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how that could play out. I'm fascinated with the fifth starter spot. I don't know about you. You touched upon it briefly there, but I think with Carlos Martinez, Alex Reyes, and some of those other guys that are being asked to be stretched out, that could be a fascinating aspect of this camp, the fifth starter spot.
And we shouldn't forget about Daniel Ponce de Leon, who, you know, if he could take that, again, that final step in being able to throw just a few more strikes, you know, a few fewer walks, you know, he could end up being a part of this rotation as well. I think, just like we say every spring, I think the job is Carlos Martinez to lose. You know, we'll have to watch how he pitches, but you know, I think his veteran, you know, his past record speaks for itself, but excuse me, we've also seen his volatility and you know, that's something that nobody likes.
Absolutely. Do you think it's a lock that Tyler O'Neill is the guy in left, or do you think they let them battle this thing out in spring? And I'll throw Bader in there too at center.
Well, Bader, I mean, they talk about Bader as a center fielder, but I mean, who knows for sure, but I think Bader's job is more secure than O'Neill's. Now, you know, might they try some platooning things with Bader, you know, to take advantage of his strength against left-handed pitching? You know, they could. I think we saw in the postseason the level of confidence in Tyler O'Neill as a starter, and that he didn't start any of the three games. Now, that's, you know, not an indictment on his career, but as Tyler O'Neill, you know, continues to rack up the major league plate appearances, you know, at some point, you know, it's got to be time to stop making excuses and say, hey, is this guy going to be, you know, is he going to be a legitimate starter in the major leagues, or is he not? And I think that's really what 2021 is about in terms of this outfield. Because the Cardinals didn't bring in any veterans. Yeah, they brought in Matt Caesar, who's a, you know, fringe guy who's not a, he doesn't have a 40-man roster spot. But I think it's about sorting out. I mean, we know that Carlson's going to start, but I think the other five guys, they've really got to sort through that and decide who are their, you know, long-term starters in the outfield.
Minor league structure. How do you see this playing out in the next couple of months in terms of, because there's been some maneuvering, obviously, with the minor leagues. We've talked about that, but maybe you can explain to our fans the minor league structure going into 2021.
Yeah, there'll be four full season teams, and we knew that already, but only this past week, back on the 12th, did Major League Baseball announce that, you know, all the 120 teams had signed their professional development license. So that was important because basically it says that these teams are now in the fold. And the big announcement that followed that wasn't the name of the 120 teams, but was the leagues and division structures, and things have completely changed around. So starting with Memphis, they're in a new AAA league called the East League. And most of the teams, other than Nashville, who is a regular, you know, opponent of them in the Pacific Coast League, other than that, they're playing teams that used to be in the International League, teams on the East Coast. So Norfolk, Charlotte, Durham, Gwinnett in Georgia, and Jacksonville. So those are the teams that the Memphis Redbirds are in their division this next year. So huge change, but it's kind of nice because, you know, Memphis always had a disadvantage of playing those games on the West Coast that ended up, you know, after midnight, and it I think, you know, affected fan interest. So, you know, this could be a good thing, but, you know, they're still going to be doing a lot of traveling, but it's more going to be East versus West. Double-A Springfield, they're in a league that looks a lot like the league before. They're going to, you know, play Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, and Tulsa. The new team is Wichita, which dropped down from AAA. But the good news for Springfield is the long bus trips, you know, down to Texas, the 12, 14, 16-hour bus trips. They're not going to have to do those. So that's nice for them. High A Peoria in a league that was very much like the Midwest League they were in the past. So they still play, you know, familiar teams like Beloit, Cedar Rapids, Quad Cities. They're probably – Peoria is probably the one that had the least amount of change, with the exception that they raised in status from Class A to now High A. And then the last full season team is Palm Beach. And again, the Florida State League that used to exist, you know, got completely blown up. And the Cardinals are really, you know, going to be playing a few teams a lot, the Class A Palm Beach Cardinals. The Mets and the Marlins, of course, are in the same area. The problem is that the Astros and Nationals, who also, you know, have their spring training bases in the same vicinity in West Palm Beach, they don't have Class A clubs. So they don't have teams in this league. And so the Cardinals are going to have to to travel sometimes up north to Daytona, which is the other team in their division. So Palm Beach is going to be in a smaller division with a couple familiar teams, but also a new one. So a lot of change sort of under the covers. And I didn't even bring up all the names of the leagues and the divisions, because they're generic names like Southeast League and East Central West Division. You know, all the fun names like the Sally League and the Midwest League and the Pacific Coast, those names are all gone.
Yeah, it's sad, I think, for some of these communities and for some people, but we'll see how it transpires throughout the year. A pitching strategist. This is something the Cardinals have added, a coach that comes from the college ranks. Tell us about this young man.
Yeah, it was interesting. We saw a year ago the Cardinals added a new position to their Major League coaching staff that they called a run production coach, and that was a man who played in the minor league system as an infielder named Packy Elkins. Now this year, the purpose of the position is, how do I deploy data? How do I use data to help the offense score more runs? Now the Cardinals for 2021 have done the same thing on the pitching side, and they've created a new job called pitching strategist. And the man that was hired into that job is the former pitching coach of Duke University. His name is Dusty Blake, and he's a guy who's well renowned in terms of his experience as a head coach, as well as an assistant coach, pitching coach in NCAA baseball, but also a very leading edge in terms of his analytic approaches to the game. So it appears that Dusty Blake is going to be, working with Maddox and Eversgird and the pitching staff to make sure that they maximize the advantage of all the data that they have.
There's some, and we'll wrap it up with this. Fans love to see the numbers that guys will wear. We know Nolan Arenado is going to get number 28, but how about some of the numbers that these guys will wear this season?
Yeah, folks, if folks head over to the Cardinal Nation this morning, you'll see an in-depth story that I have up about that. Looked at basically every number of the 67 players in camp, as well as who had those numbers last year, so you can kind of see where the changes were. Again, significant consistency in the pitching side, but a lot of changes on the position player side. But one especially interesting piece of news is something that a lot of people probably didn't notice, and that was that number 57, which of course was worn by the late Darrell Kyle, had been in sort of unofficially out of service for the last 20 years. And the Cardinals have decided this spring to bring 57 back into service, and they gave it to a very promising young pitcher, and that's Zach Thompson, the left-hander. So we're going to have a number 57 on the field for the Cardinals for the first time in two decades.
Yeah, that'll catch your attention. TheCardinalNation.com, what do you have this morning? You've touched upon it a little bit, and then also tell us the best way to get to your guide as well.
Yeah, as I said, today's story is about the numbers. A little later today, we'll be having the first of the Zoom calls with Mike Schilt from Jupiter. So we'll start to, the news will start to flow in terms of what's happening in camp. Pitchers and catchers, of course, report today. We also have a recap of the Winter League baseball. First up is the hitters. And Dennis Ortega, who's an interesting catching prospect, is a guy who finished in the most valuable player vote in the Venezuelan League. So he's our hitter of the year in Cardinals winter ball. Those players basically played up until just a little about 10 days ago. So there's a group of players, and certainly Carlos Martinez is among them, who are very active and may come to camp, maybe a little more ready to play than some of the others. And we have stories up about Jack Flaherty's arbitration case, Matt Sezier, who I mentioned was recently signed, so folks can go and read about him, and Ally Sanchez as well, the catcher they got from the Mets. So got new news about what's happening with the Cardinals up every day at the Cardinal Nation.
Cardinal Nation.
The prospect guide, come to the site. Look, you'll see big ads for the 2021 prospect guide. You can order it in PDF version, but basically you get it downloadable the same day, and you can read it on your device of your choice, or take it to the ballpark and watch it, use it while you're watching players. Or you can also order a spiral-bound printed book version, which, as I said, the first ones are shipping today.
CardinalNation.com. Brian, as always, thank you so much, and let's catch up next week. Thanks for doing it.
Sounds great, Dan.